Death no longer has mastery over him. Isn't that a marvelous reminder? Yeah, I see somebody applauding with the sign language applause this morning. Want to welcome everybody this morning. It's good to see all of your faces and some of you smiling and some of you not smiling. Oh, and some of you, more of you smiling. And it's great to be here together, and it's great to be reminded of the gift and the blessing and the hope that we have in our Savior, Jesus Christ. And I want to spend some time reflecting on that this morning. And we're going to be looking this morning and at some songs that we sing and be reminded of some of the blessing that we have, the ultimate blessing that we have in Christ through some of the songs that we sing. And so there are some folks throughout history that have written some marvelous, wonderful poems and hymns to remind us of the blessing that we have because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And one of them is a man by the name of Robert Lowry, lived in the mid-1800s. He had a PhD in literature. He was a minister, and he was also a songwriter and a music publisher. And he was the editor and collaborated on a number of hymn books back in those days. And some of them were judged to be some of the finest that were ever published. And it has been said that the quality of his music publications did a lot to improve the quality of church music in the country. Now, Lowry made sure that the songs he wrote were songs of excellence. He once wrote that Christian songs must be readily apprehended by the Christian consciousness coming forth from the experience of the writer and clothed in strong and inspiring words. Now, Lowry as a songwriter had few equals in his day, and so we still sing some of the songs that he wrote, including "Shall We Gather at the River," "Nothing But the Blood of Jesus," "All the Way My Savior Leads Me," "I Need Thee Every Hour," "We're Marching to Zion," "Savior Thy Dying Love," and "Christ Arose." Now, when he was asked about his method for writing songs, here's what he wrote. Here's what he said. He said, "I have no set method. Sometimes the music comes and the words follow. I watch my moods, and when anything strikes me, whether words or music, no matter where I am, at home or on the street, I jot it down. My brain is sort of a spinning machine." I think some of us can relate to that. "My brain is sort of a spinning machine, for there is music running through it all the time. The tunes of nearly all the hymns I have written have been completed on paper before I tried them on the organ. Frequently, the words of the hymn and the music have been written down at the same time." And so this is how it was when he wrote the song, "Christ Arose." Now, it was this time of year, back in 1874, he was having his devotions one evening, and he was impressed with the events associated with Christ's resurrection, especially with the words that were recorded in Luke chapter 24. And it says, "He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spoke unto you when he was in Galilee, saying, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again.' And they remembered his words." And so Lowry found himself writing down words and music. The poetry began to flow, and the music began to flow out of his mind and out of his heart, giving expression to the thoughts that had been deeply entrenched in his mind. And then he wrote the song, and it was published in 1875 and became popular all across the country. Listen to the words of the song. "Low in the grave he lay, Jesus my Savior, waiting the coming day, Jesus my Lord. Vainly they watch his bed, Jesus my Savior. Vainly they seal the dead, Jesus my Lord. Death cannot keep his prey, Jesus my Savior. He tore the bars away, Jesus my Lord. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph o'er his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Vainly they watch his bed. Vainly they seal the dead. Why was it in vain to seal the tomb and put a guard on it? Because death cannot keep his prey. Indeed, he did tear the bars away. He destroyed that prison cell called death and lives forever and offers that same life for us who come to him. So let's go ahead and sing this song. If you want to follow along in the book, it's number 143 in the hymnal. Lo, in the grave he lay, Jesus my Savior, waiting the coming day, Jesus my Lord. Vainly they watch his bed. Savior, vainly they seal the dead, Jesus my Lord. Death cannot keep his prey, Jesus my Savior. He Jesus, my Lord. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. You know, we are reminded that our Christian faith is not limited to the events of the cross. The story continued from the cross to the empty tomb. And you know, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 reminds us that Jesus did not just die on a cross, but he also rose from the grave. And if he didn't rise from the grave, if he didn't come up out of that grave, then our teaching is worthless, our faith is worthless, and our hope is in vain. Our whole Christian faith rests on the reality of the empty tomb when Jesus rose from the grave. If he didn't raise from the grave, we would still be in our sins and without hope in the world. The story of the cross is incomplete without the empty tomb. And you know, we have several songs in our collection that celebrate this, and one of them is entitled, Because He Lives. This song was written by Bill and Gloria Gaither. They were originally English teachers before they started writing and singing music full-time in the 1960s. And since then, they have written over 600 songs. Now, most of you who enjoy Southern gospel music are probably familiar with their name. And you probably can name some of the songs that they've done, such as There's Something About That Name or He Touched Me. Now, in the late 1960s, Bill was recovering from an illness. Their second child was only 3 months old, the marriage of Bill's sister had just failed, and a close friend had accused them of crass commercialism. And in addition to these personal problems, there was a lot of turmoil that was going on in the world around them at that time. It was the height of the drug culture. The whole God is dead theory was running wild across the country, and it was at the peak of the Vietnam War. And on top of all of this, Gloria was expecting a child. And this just didn't seem to be the right time to bring a child into the world. It was as if a dark cloud was looming over them. But during a prayer session with a close friend, they rediscovered the power of the resurrection, which caused them to take heart. And it was from this that the song, Because He Lives, was born. And I want to go ahead and read what they personally shared about the writing of this song. Here's what they said. It said, I can remember at the time that we thought, this is really a poor time to bring a child into the world. At times we were even quite discouraged by the whole thing. And then Benji did come. We had two little girls who we loved very much. But this was our first son. And so that lyric came to us. How sweet to hold our newborn baby and feel the pride and joy he gives. But greater still, the calm assurance that this child can face uncertain days because Christ lives. And this gave us courage to say, because Christ lives, we can face tomorrow. We can keep our heads high, and hopefully that could be of meaning to other people. It's rather interesting now that although we don't consider ourselves as old writers, we've had many people tell us that they have used that song at a funeral of a loved one, and it has been very encouraging to them at a time where they were very discouraged. So evidently, a lot of people have shared the same kind of experience of being discouraged. Listen to the words they wrote. God sent his son. They called him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. They called him Jesus, and his name means Savior, Deliverer. He lived and died to deliver us from sin and death, and he rose from the grave. The tomb was empty. He's alive. Death couldn't hold him, and through him we also can have life. The song goes on, how sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and joy he gives, but greater still, the calm assurance this child can face uncertain days because he lives. You know, we often say that we live in uncertain times, but that's the nature of this world. That's the way this world is, right? It's fleeting, it changes, it decays, it's not dependable. But the one thing that we can depend on is that our Savior lives. He came up out of the grave and death is no longer master over him and no longer is master over us. And then one day I'll cross the river, I'll fight life's final war with pain, and then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory and I'll know he reigns. You know, Jesus left this earth and he will return, and when he comes back, he'll bring us home. He'll return alive. He's not dead, he's alive, and he'll take us home with him. He said he's preparing a home right now for us. And there will be no more sin, no more death, no more mourning, no more sickness, no more pain. And he will reign for eternity. And no matter what happens on this earth, we are assured that this earth and everything in it is temporary. But life with Christ is eternal. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. Jesus lives, and no matter how uncertain the future is, no matter how uncertain it may be on this earth, we know that he is the one that holds the future. All of this we see will pass away, but his kingdom is eternal, and he will reign forever in his eternal kingdom. Even though he has returned to heaven, he's not absent. He said, lo, I am with you, how often? Always, even to the end of the age. In Revelation chapter 1, we see him walking among the lampstands. You know who that is? That's us. He's walking among us, and he sees what we're going through. He's with us, he strengthens us, and he rises up on behalf of his people. 1 John chapter 2 says he is our advocate with the Father, and he'll see us through any challenge until the time he returns, and we leave this earth to be with him. So let's go ahead and sing this song. God sent his son, they called him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone.
Because I know He holds a future, and life is worth the living just because He lives. How sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and joy He gives. But greater still, the calm assurance this child can face uncertain days, because He lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds a future, and life is worth the living just because He lives. And then one day I'll cross that river, I'll fight life's final war with pain. And then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory, and I'll know He reigns. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds a future, and life is worth the living just because He lives. And life is worth the living just because He lives.
You know, I was going to go ahead and end with that, but then I thought, you know, there's still more. When you come to the book of Revelation, we find a written work that was written to a group of Christians who believed, as we do, that Jesus died on the cross, that He rose from the grave. And they've been suffering on this earth, suffering persecution and all the hardships that comes from following Christ because of their faith in Christ. And in Revelation, we're allowed a glimpse behind the scenes of what's going on. And in spite of all of what's happening on all the things that are happening on this earth, we see that Jesus is in heaven. We see that Jesus is reigning, and we know that He's going to come back, and everything on this earth is going to be done away with, and we'll go to heaven to be with Him. And you know what they're doing in heaven? They're singing praises to the Lamb and to God who sits on the throne. After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever." You know, these words have been put to music. The title of the song is "Salvation Belongs to Our God." Now, this is not in our songbook. I'm curious, how many of you know this song All right, very few. Okay, we're going to go ahead and try this. I don't usually do this, and don't know what I did with my pitch pipe. I'll try to make sure I don't get it too high. Okay. Did I leave it on the pew? Okay. I don't know what I did with it. Oh, I do have it right here on me. Okay. All right, so let's go ahead and give this. I'll go ahead and sing through it once. If you want to go ahead and follow along, if you know it, that's fine. Then I'll back up and start from the beginning again.
Salvation belongs to our God, who sits upon the throne. And unto the Lamb be praise and glory, wisdom and thanks, honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Be to our God forever and ever. Be to our God forever and ever. Amen.
All right, let's go ahead and sing this again. Song that we know it's sung in heaven.
Salvation belongs to our God, who sits upon the throne. And unto the Lamb be praise and glory, wisdom and thanks, honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Be to our God forever and ever. Be to our God forever and ever. Amen. And we, the redeemed, shall be strong in purpose and in unity, declaring aloud praise and glory, wisdom and thanks, honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Be to our God forever and ever. Be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Be to our God forever and ever. Be to our God forever and ever. Be to our God forever and ever. Amen.
He will reign forever and ever. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is King. You know, because of our sin, Jesus died on the cross. He was buried. But he rose on the third day, and he defeated the power of sin at the cross and the power of death at the empty tomb. He's paved the way for you and I to be able to come to God. And now what does he want you to do? He wants you to accept him as your crucified Savior and as your risen Lord. You know, you can't save yourself from sin. As hard as you may try, there's no way you can go back and turn back the hands of time and undo what has already happened. Only Jesus, our Savior, has the ability and the power to rescue us from our sins. You know, Jesus is Savior, Jesus is Lord, and you know, when we really think about what does that mean, we know what it means that Jesus is Savior, but he's also Lord. He's our Savior, and he's also our Master, our Lord. We were created by God in order to serve his purposes. Now, if you're ready to accept him not only as your Savior, but also as your Lord, then the next step is to come to him, to be baptized, and allow him to wash away all of your sins. And at that point, you become a child of God. He washes away all of your sins and you become a new person. You have a clean slate. You have a fresh start in the eyes of God. Your old self is done away with. Your old self is put to death, and it's a new start in Christ, just as the scripture reading this morning reminded us. Now, if you've already done this, then it's good to take time to reflect, to meditate on the great gift that God has given every single one of us, the great price that He paid. You have been raised with Christ to walk in newness of life, His life. You are completely devoted to Him. You belong to Him. And we may we never outlive our love for Him. We're going to go ahead and sing the invitation song this morning. And if you are ready to respond to the Lord's invitation, we invite you to come up to the front as we stand and sing this invitation song.